Help us be mindful of all the blessings in our lives and those we share our, and those with whom we share our lives. Be with us in worship as we lift our voices in praise to you, through Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Welcome again to our virtual worship space here at Parma Christian Church. We are glad that you're worshiping with us, and you're welcome to continue to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. on Facebook Live. We will continue to worship on Facebook Live at least for the foreseeable future, as unfortunately our COVID numbers continue to rise in Ohio and in Cuyahoga County. I am Reverend Nancy Dunn. I'm the interim pastor here at Parma Christian Church. Our organist pianist is Dick Woodward, and Daryl Cravanos is our tech and camera guy, and he's also our elder for the day. Two items I want to remind you of today as we worship together. The first is we will celebrate Holy Communion with one another, so I invite you to bring to your table whatever you may have. And your table is an extension of Christ's table, so all are invited. The second reminder is for offering. Your generosity is greatly appreciated, and you may give generously either through using our online tool, which can be found on our church website, www.parmachristianchurch.org, or you may mail in your offering to Parma Christian Church, 7000 Ridge Road, Parma, Ohio, 44129. Today, our scripture lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 22nd chapter. And this is a scripture today from the lectionary text, the series of texts that have been selected that ministers use around the country and around the world. I just want to point that out because it is somewhat a controversial text, and I think as you'll hear my sermon today, you may go, oh, what is she saying? Well, I just want you to know that most of this sermon actually comes from a sermon that I preached on this same text in 1999, and unfortunately, not a lot has changed in our world. So here is the scripture this morning from the Gospel of Matthew. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then Jesus said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then Jesus said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The question this morning is, to whom do we belong? That is actually the question the Pharisees and the scribes and all of those gathered with them are asking Jesus this day. Are we Caesar's people, or are we God's people? Should our loyalty be to Rome or to the temple? To our country or to God? To whom do we belong? This is not an easy question to answer, but it is the perfect question for Jesus' challengers to use to entrap him. This man who attracts crowds, who disrupts the businesses of the temple, who tells parables against them, he must be stopped. He must be removed from the scene. They are looking for a way to get Jesus out of the picture because he continues to attract too many followers. His teachings are radical. He teaches the kingdom of the Lord is near. Then he has the audacity to heal the sick. He feeds the multitudes. He teaches forgiveness and grace. And he does all of this in the name of God, whom he calls Father. So Jesus must be stopped. But how? Can you see this group of angry people meeting together to discuss the problem, whispering among themselves, trying to concoct a plan to get rid of him? Then one of them comes up with the question, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Surely this is the one question that we can trap him with. Surely this is the one that's going to get him in trouble with the authorities, and we can finally be rid of this man named Jesus. So they came to him with flattery. Oh, teacher, we know that you are sincere and that you teach the way of God in accordance with truth. We know that you do not show partiality to anyone, Jesus. You are so wise. We have a question for you. We want to know what you think. Can you give us this answer? Tell us, Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Now, this is a tricky question that the Jewish people of the day struggled with. If the Jews paid taxes to the emperor, they were admitting to Rome, who ruled over them, that Rome was in control, not God. If Jesus said to pay the taxes, he was legitimizing the power of this foreign government over the laws of God. However, if the Jews did not pay the taxes, then they would feel the wrath of the Roman Empire. Someone who did not pay would be considered a threat, a political revolutionary. Many people already saw Jesus in this role. So if he said, no, don't pay the taxes, then surely he would be arrested and taken out of the picture. Either way, the Pharisees thought that they were going to win this one, but not so quick. This is Jesus we're talking about. This isn't your average, ordinary guy here. This is Jesus. He's smart, he's quick, and he's the Son of God. One tricky little question isn't going to make him disappear. Of course, he's got an answer. And the beautiful thing is, his answer is actually just as confusing as the question, which makes it great. To whom do we belong, Jesus? Do we belong to the emperor or to God? And Jesus responds, give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's and to God the things that are God's. What? Of course, his challengers leave amazed and confused, and they're like, what just happened here? He's managed to give them an answer that doesn't get him into trouble. But what does he really mean by this answer? It's about as tricky as the question. And they're not just amazed, they're disappointed and they're confused and they don't understand. So what does Jesus mean when he said, give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's and to God the things that are God's? To whom do we belong, Jesus? Do we belong to this world? Do we belong to God? Do we belong to both? You see, Jesus is acknowledging that we do live in this world. And it's a very tough world with many emperors. But the real question is, how do we live responsibly in this world? We cannot refuse to relate to others. We cannot refuse to play with those around us. We cannot refuse to stay completely isolated in our own little box with our blinders on, not recognizing that there is a world around us. We cannot refuse to pay our taxes. In a sense, for the Jews, and even for us, it's a matter of simple survival. Without government, we would be living in chaos. And yes, there are some governments that are better than others, and we live in a democracy, which is very important for us. And it means that we actually have a say, not only about our taxes, but also about our leaders. And when we choose not to participate in our government, when we choose not to vote, we allow others to rule over us. When Jesus said we should pay our taxes, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, he said this because he knew that the emperor did not rule over him. It's not the emperor to whom we ultimately belong and to whom we are ultimately responsible to. We are responsible to God. In the end, we belong to God, not to this world. The power of this world is not what controls us. It is because of God that we are free. Free to give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and free to challenge the emperor when the emperor threatens our freedom. To whom do we belong? We belong to God. When the world challenges this, when governments oppress people, and when people kill each other because governments cause them to rise up against one another, that's when we are called to give to God what is God's and to call it out for what it is. We are called to speak out. We are called ultimately by God to love our neighbors. That is a commandment. We are called to fight for our freedom and for the freedom of others, to love God, because religious freedom is a right that we have. Now, during the 1960s, one man answered this call, and he led his people, actually our people, God's people, to fight for freedom. He belonged to God, and he knew it. So he rose up and he challenged us, yet some people, some Christians, and even some Christian ministers fought against this man because they thought what he was doing and saying was wrong. And of course, you know him as Martin Luther King Jr. In January of 1963, 8 white clergymen, and I say men intentionally, from Alabama wrote an open letter to him, asking him to stop his nonviolent resistance movement. King responded in a letter from a jail cell in Birmingham saying the struggle must go on. Freedom, quote, comes through the tireless efforts and persistent work of all people willing to be co-workers with God. You see, we belong to God. All people, all people, all people belong to God. When the world is oppressing anyone's freedoms, we should act as if we belong to God. And we should rise up and speak about it. Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's. Jesus did not give us an easy answer. I don't think God ever gives us an easy answer or an easy path. No one in this life has an easy path. We all have difficult decisions to make, and we all have to make those decisions and remember that each one of those decisions reflects our personal attitude and beliefs about who do we belong to this world or to God. Our lives are filled with daily struggles that challenge us about whom do we belong. You know, we can look a little closer to home to see that there are people who have had their freedom stripped away from them, even in our own neighborhood, our own communities, our own greater Cleveland, Northeast Ohio area. We know there are homeless who live in our community. We know there are battered women and children living in shelters. We know that there are people who are oppressed because of their color of their skin, because of their sexuality, their gender identity. We know there are people who struggle every day, and we have to say that. We have to acknowledge that they need us, and they need us to help them because they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't take much to turn on our TV, to open our phones to social media, to see and read the news, to see the oppression that surrounds us everywhere. The powers of this world are controlling us. And the work of Martin Luther King Jr. is certainly not over. The fight for freedom for all people, the fight for freedom for Black lives, is not over. As long as there are emperors taking what is not theirs, as long as there are leaders who do not acknowledge evil and hate and white supremacy, as long as there are people who continually say, "You do not matter," we are called to say, "They do matter." We are called to stand up and to fight for freedom for all people. This is a part of our giving to God the things that are God's. It even goes a little bit deeper. If you look a little closer at home to see the powers of this world controlling us, just look at all the items that were for sale this week on Amazon Prime. Look at all the items that people are already thinking about with Christmas coming up. And yes, I know we're in an economic situation where we do need to spend our money and support our economy. But sometimes our consumerism overwhelms us. And we think we belong to consumerism. We belong to the game of keeping up with the Joneses. We all do that, you see, with iPhones, Apple Watches, cars, things that we may not really and truly need. But when we do that, when we fill our lives up with stuff, who owns us? To whom do we belong? The consumerism, the mass amount of products that we purchase? Or are we belonging to God, who tells us all we need are the basics? If we confess that we belong to God, we acknowledge that we have been appointed by God as stewards of God's message of love, faith, hope, grace, love being the most important of those. And we are called to live out that message in our lives. We are called to say to the world that we belong to God, and we give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but we belong to God, and we know that you belong to God too. God calls us to teach others. God calls us to love others, and God calls us to be active in this world. One way to accomplish this is to give to God the things that are God's. And I have a little story that kind of illustrates that. You see, there was a 5-year-old child named Katie. And she had learned at an early age that all good birthday cards from relatives contained money. And she would take her cards and anxiously rip open the envelope and quickly extract the green bills she found there. She couldn't read. She didn't care who the card was from. She just wanted the money. And then she would take her newly acquired prize possession and stuff it in her piggy bank, which was quite frankly overflowing. And while her older sister would spend all of her money on new toys or candy or whatever the latest fashion thing was, Katie would save it up. But you see, even Katie, who loves her money, understands that we are called to give to God the things that are God's. One Sunday, she climbed up in her grandmother's lap right before offering and whispered in her grandmother's ear, "Grandma, my little pocketbook is empty." So her grandmother gave her a couple of dollars to put in the offering plate when it passed by. And while she did have some money with her in her pocketbook, she never went anywhere without a little bit of money. What she did was she put the money from her grandmother in the offering plate, and then she turned to her uncle and gave some money from her purse to him and said, "I want you to use this to help the baby animals." Her uncle had been helping clean up a natural disaster mess huge project, and she had heard him talking about animals that they had found who needed help. Where did she learn this compassion? Where did she learn this kind of stewardship? Yeah, sure, she learned it from her family. But more importantly, she had learned from her church that she belonged to God, that all creatures belonged to God. So when we ask the question, to whom do we belong, Jesus? Remember, the answer is that we belong to God. Amen.